Good morning. We're so glad that you're here this morning with us at Barbie's Grove. We pray that as we worship the Lord together, that you'll be blessed. I know that many of you came early and got your Lord's Supper cups. If you'll just feel free to do that at some time between now and the end of the service. If you come down the middle of my sermon, I may think you're repenting or something, but... But it's good to be in the Lord's house and worship and enjoy the Lord together. He's the only one that's worthy. The only one that's worthy. And he's got your best interest in his heart. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to walk in wholeness and health. He wants you to have eternal life. For he loves you so much. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the marvelous love that you have for us. And you just didn't talk about love. You demonstrated love when you pour out your son, Jesus. And he poured out his blood on the cross. Love in action. Lord, we're reminded of what Paul wrote. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. Marvelous love. We're just so thankful. And you're so welcome here, Father, today. May the Spirit of God bring honor and glory to you, to himself, and to the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. It is the fifth Sunday, and the pastor has already alluded to that we will be having communion today. And in honor of that, we have a song called In Remembrance for our hymn sing this morning. So if you would, please, let's stand and sing together In Remembrance, all verses.
Truth in remembrance of
Somebody said amen. You see. I want to remember a few announcements this morning. And again, I want to remind everyone, if you haven't picked up your communion, please pick it up, and we'll be at the end of this, by the end of the service. All right, continue on. But remember Wednesday night, we're still here. We're Wednesday night and having our Wednesday night service. We'd love to have you come and join us, and we enjoy the service. I think we're about to start a new study, so it'd be a good time to come by and start a new study with us. Deacon election will begin August the 14th. Again, we remind you men, the list was passed out. Remind you men that if you do not want to serve, or you feel like God's not leading you to serve, then you need to let us know, let Jeff or one of the other deacons know, we can let Brenda, also Jeanette know. Well, and there's a lot of people you can let know. Just let somebody know so we won't be voting on. All right. We got it fixed so somebody can hear, okay? We got it done. All right. So August the 21st will be homecoming. Homecoming is a very important time in the life of Barbara's Grove, and we're glad that Brother Jesse Herring will be with us and be able to do the worship, the pastor of the church. I mean, we'll be able to do the sermon, and so let's all come and be part of that. And also, there'll be a covered dish meal afterwards, okay? Area-wide revival, September the 5th and the 9th and the 12th through the 16th at the Stanley County Fairgrounds on Highway 52, Reverend Ralph Sexton. Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked? All right. That being said, we'll go to our prayer request. Let's continue to remember Ruth, and she's convalescing, and glad to know that she's home, right? Miss Rosina, you want to bring everybody up to date where we are?
She was doing well yesterday. Thank you, everybody, for your prayers.
Okay.
Still got a ways to go.
Tony's doing well. That's wonderful. Let's remember Nell Jackman. Let's continue to remember Jail. Nell, she's going through some adjustments, but she's getting along well, right, Kathy?
Doing well.
Good. That's great. That's wonderful. Let's remember Eva Ann. Eva Ann's going through some discomforts, and let's remember her as she needs healing from God. Let's remember her in our prayers. I had an interesting thing this morning. Little Ryland down there wants us to remember something for her, a favor for her. When a child comes to you and remembers that God is powerful and that God will do things special for you, and asks to help remember her little cat, her little kitty, Fluffy Jr. And you know what? God made those animals for us to love. God made those animals for us to be our friends. And so, Ryland, we're going to remember little Fluffy Jr., okay? Thank you. Are there other prayer requests this morning? I'm sorry?
John Tobias.
John Tobias, okay.
T-O-B-I-A-S.
Okay. All right. All right, Daryl Lee. Okay. All right. Are there others? All right. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we come to you now, Lord, knowing and proclaiming, Lord, that you're an awesome God. Lord, we know that you're all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. And now, Lord, we come to you now, Lord, and thanking you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us already today, the many, many blessings you give us each and every day. And Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we continue to ask your blessings upon it. Lord, we know this is a very important time with communion today. Lord, help us, Lord, to prepare ourselves for communion. And Lord, help us, Lord, to really honor you through it all. But Lord, there are those among us today, Lord, and those that have been asked to be remembered in prayer today. And Lord, I want to lift them up to you today, Lord. I pray and continue to pray for Miss Ruth and for Tony. But we pray for Ruth, and as she's convalescing at home, Lord, we know that she's been through some trying times. But Lord, we know that you'll touch her body, and you are touching her body and we pray for healing for her. We also pray for Miss Nell Jackman, as Nell is adjusting to a different type of life and different type of home. And Lord, we pray for her. And Lord, we're so glad that she is doing well. We pray for her. Lift up Eva Ann to you this morning, Lord, as she's experiencing some discomfort. Lord, we pray for her that the healing will be given to her body. And then, Lord, a little Ryland has asked us this morning and to remember, Lord, another part of your creation. Part of your creation, the animal creation that you've given us, Lord, to love. And we pray, little Fluffy, today. We lift her up to you. Then, Lord, we ask the family to pray a special blessing upon John Tobias' family. We pray for them and for Daryl Lee as he battles cancer, Lord. And then, Lord, as we go forward in today's service, we pray, Lord, for Pastor Ed. We thank you for Tonda. She'll be coming and leading us in our time of praise. And then, Lord, we want to remember our nation. We want to remember and lift them up to you and all the people, Lord. And Lord, it's such a need as we go to the gas pumps, Lord, and as we go buy our food. Lord, we need a blessing from you. And I know, Lord, that you will pour that blessing out when the timing is right. Now, Lord, I pray again a blessing upon us today. And these many blessings I ask in your name. Amen. Miss Tonda, if you will come, and Tonda's going to come and lead us this morning in our time of worship and our praise.
Okay. One that just jumped in my mind when Leonard asked me to prepare something for the praise song was Cornerstone. And I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with Hillsong and the Cornerstone. It's always been one of my all-time favorite praise songs. And then he alluded to that we would be doing our Lord's Supper today. And I said, well, you know what? Great minds work together, and we figure out a plan. And so we're going to stand together. I don't know how loud we know this, because I don't know if it's been done for praise music here yet. I'm in and out, and I really miss my church family when I'm not here. But, you know, family's first, and we have to take care of our elders. So anyway, we're going to enjoy standing together and doing Cornerstone. Jeff, thank you so much. I sent him the video, and he immediately said, got it. And I knew he would be prepared and on task. So we thank you for that. So stand with me. You'll see words all around you. I hope I'll be able to see mine there, because sometimes that gets iffy. But, let's just enjoy praising and thinking of what our Lord is to us.
Built on nothing less than Jesus. dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne.
Amen. Thank you.
Children, you are dismissed. Aren't you glad that Jesus is Lord in the storms? I mean, you know, two different times in the, at least in the New Testament, where one, he was asleep in the boat and the disciples were screaming out, "We're going to drown." It says Jesus stood up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and the storm was gone. Then on another occasion, they're in the storm and they're all in a tizzy, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and as soon as he gets in the boat, the storm's over and they're at the place they needed to be. We all go through storms of one kind or other, but Jesus, for the Christian, is there in the storm with us, and he's Lord of that storm. Praise the Lord. By the time Leonard finished with his prayer, I thought about need to add my son-in-law, or our son-in-law, Brian, to the prayer list. You know, he and our daughter and granddaughters are missionaries in Australia. So about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they have a building that they rent for church, and they have to set it up every week. And so he was setting it up and was up on a step ladder and fixing a camera. And somewhere or another, he stepped off and got all stove up. Well, so this week, he and one of the church members were working on a fence at the property that Brian and Sarah rent. And some way or another, and I don't think anybody really knows, he headbutted a tree. He ended up with a concussion, sort of, and some scrapes and bruises and things, and a little fuzzy thinking for a little while. Now, he didn't have to preach today, which was last night, their time. Our time was last night, and it was Sunday morning there. They every fifth Sunday, they have a testimony service. Just different members walk up and take the mic and give about a 2 or 3 minute testimony. So he didn't have to preach. In fact, he didn't go. He was still back in home in bed. So pray for him. Now, I texted back and told them, you know, hey, we're praying for you. But then I said, you know, are you not sure you're a part louder? Because a louder would be more tempted to take a tree out with a his head than with a chainsaw or a bulldozer. So I hope he got a laugh out of that. And but do pray for Brian as the Lord brings him to your mind this week. In a few moments, 20 or 30 minutes or so, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And I've been thinking about that, and the Lord told me to go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And John, you remember, in Revelation, he has the encounter with the risen Christ. He sees the word from Christ and hears the word from Christ to the seven churches. And then John is sort of
lifted up and begins to see things in heaven. And in the fifth chapter, he's being shown a scene in heaven, and it's an overwhelming scene. I mean, it's just has John all in a dither. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, I think it's a scroll, not just a book, it's a scroll. Seven is the number of perfection, so since it has seven seals, that means that it's a very important book. And ordinarily a scroll was written on one side and the other side was blank, but this one was written on both sides. So John knows that this thing he's looking at, held by the one on the throne, is vitally important. I mean, he wants to know. What's going on? What's in that book? What's in that scroll that's held by Almighty God himself? I mean, John knows that this is serious business. And I saw a strong angel, not just any old ordinary angel from over in the, you know, he wasn't a private first class. He wasn't a private. He was a strong angel. He was one of the head angels. And he proclaimed with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" This angel cries out for heaven and earth, "Who is worthy to open this book? Who is the worthy one that's going to let us see the revelation of God to his people?" And he says, "No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book and to look therein." He said there was not a single possible human being could open that book. Think about it. All the great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elisha, all of those prophets, none of them were worthy. The apostles, Peter, John, Paul, they weren't worthy. And remember, John's looking into the future, so nobody that you and I have studied about in our history classes, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Billy Graham, nobody was worthy. Not a single human being that had ever lived and would ever live was worthy to open this precious book. And of course, this is what John did. Verse 4, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." King James says, "I wept much." Some translations say, "I wept bitterly." In other words, John was torn up inside because he looked and nobody step forward. When the angel said, "Who's worthy?" Nobody stepped forward and said, "I am. I can. I will." Nobody stepped forward and said, "I can do it." And John's brokenhearted. He says, "I wept bitterly. I wept much. I cried." But then John gets good news in verse 5. "And one of the elders said unto him, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." One of the elders said, "Now, John, just hush your crying. It's okay. The Lion of the tribe of Judah." Over in Genesis 41, you don't have to turn there unless you're just, not 41, 49. Genesis 49, verses 9 and 10. "But Judah is a lion's whelp. From the Thy prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion went. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be gathering of the people be. Talks about Judah. And who came out of Judah? David. Jesus. He says, somebody out of the tribe of Judah, a disciple, a savior, a ruler, he is the one that's worthy. And you know, the lineage of Jesus goes all the way back to David, all the way back to Judah. And then look what John sees, verse 6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. John sees a lamb. Now, my understanding is that the actual Greek there, it's not just any lamb. You know, it's like if you had a great flock of sheep, and you say, any, many, many, mo. No, this is a pet lamb. This is a specially loved lamb. This is a precious lamb. One perhaps that had been loved like a pet dog or a pet cat. He said, this is a specially loved lamb. Who was the lamb? Jesus. For God so loved that he sent who? His only begotten son. His loving and loved son. Jesus. He said, I saw a lamb. A lamb. And notice about this lamb. He had seven horns and seven eyes. Well, again, the seven is a perfection. Seven horns. He has perfect, complete, absolute authority and power. The one sitting on the throne of heaven has no rival, no equal, nobody else that compares to the one sitting on the throne of heaven. Now I know that there are religions that talk about their God and their ruler and their leader and all this other kind of stuff. King of kings and Lord of lords. Sitting upon that throne. Perfect authority. Perfect power. And the seven eyes and seven spirits means that he's all-knowing. In other words, there's nothing in all of heaven and earth that escapes the knowledge of the Lamb on the throne. Three 3:00 in the morning and you're asleep. You wake up and you're hurting. You're sad. You're being attacked by the devil with doubts and fears. The Lamb is there with you. You're shocked by something that you didn't expect to happen happens. He knows. What did Jesus say? If a little sparrow falls, he knows. He knows. You know, sometimes you see these birds flying, it looks like there's thousands of them. If one of them falls, my wife's real good with bird feeders, and sometimes I think there's at least 300 or 400 in the yard. If one of them falls, he knows. You know, Jesus also says, he knows how many hair we have on our head. Now, for some folks, that's not hard to count. For some of us, it's not as many as it used to be. But he knows. And so when it says this Lamb on the throne, has seven horns and seven eyes of seven spirits, says he knows all about us. But what else does it say about this pet lamb? It says, and the lamb, as in the middle of verse 6, stood a lamb as it had been slain. In verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy tongue out of every, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He said, this lamb was slain. This lamb died for us. And he redeemed us unto God by his blood. In a few moments when you partake of the Lord's Supper. And that cup symbolizes the blood of Jesus that he shed for you and me. Worthy. The Lamb is worthy to open the seals because he died for us. And I love it that he says, he redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He didn't say he died for the Jews or he died for the Israelis or he died for the Germans or he died for the Brazilians. It says out of every, and what's every? Every means all. Out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he died to save us. That's good news. That no matter where you go in the world, no matter what people you talk to, no matter what nation or nationality, no matter what language they speak, Jesus died for them. If you go into the jungles of the Amazon and meet primitive people that have maybe hardly ever seen a white person, Jesus died for them. He says he redeemed us by his blood out of every kindred, tribe, and nation. Praise the Lord that includes you and me. Paul talks about the mystery of salvation and he says it was hidden. That now there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female. God made us all one in Jesus. And notice a couple of other things. Not only did, verse 10, and not only did he save us, he's made unto us our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I don't know how many of you read the newsletter that we sent out this week. It listed a lot of things that said who we are in Christ. That's one of the ones that I didn't put on the list. And I said the list was only partial. It says he died for us, that he made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, who are kings? Kings are people in authority. And who are priests in the Old Testament? They were people that had a special access to God. So he says that when Jesus died on the cross, he died so that we might become people of authority and people with a special relationship with God. I know the devil wants to make you think you're second class, third class, trash, a worm, no good, sorry. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he made you a king and a priest and you'll reign with him on the earth. You'll walk in authority and in a special relationship with God, not in heaven, but on earth. Now, I know in the millennium, believers will be reigning with Christ on the earth. But even now, you can have a special relationship with God and you can walk in authority. When the devil comes, you say, "Hey, man, you don't have anything against me. I rebuke you in Jesus' name," and he's got to go. You don't have to cower in fear of the devil. You can live in authority, in power. It says he was slain, he redeemed us, and he made us kings and priests, and we shall reign in earth. Now, I didn't make that up. Look at your Bible. That's what your Bible says. And you either believe your Bible or don't believe your Bible. He says he made us kings in authority. And you see his glory and his death and his resurrection made Jesus worthy, the worthy Lamb, to open that book, to break those seals, and to reveal to us the will of God. And what's the result of it? Look at verse 8, 9. "And when he had taken the book, the four feasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors or scents, incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Sometimes you feel like your prayers just hit the ceiling. But if you're really praying, your prayers are not worthless. They're not useless. They're not valueless. They're stored in heaven. And it says, "These elders fall down before the Savior and pour out your prayers like sweet incense in his presence." Think about it. Just ordinary people like us. And in heaven, those elders are pouring out your prayer and my prayers as sweet incense before the throne of God. And then they say, they sung a new song, "Thou art worthy to take the book. Thou art worthy." And then verse 11. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." That Lamb was slain, but he lives forever. Praise the Lord. And all of heaven and earth worships him. Even the unbelievers are one day going to fall down and say, "You were the Lamb. We missed it. We're in hell because of we missed it. But you're worthy." This is a beautiful picture of what the Lord's Supper is all about. A Lamb that was slain to make a difference in your life and my life. A Lamb that died, Jesus, but rose again. And is now seated on the throne, and he is the one who is worthy. And all of heaven and earth, things he says in the earth, under the earth, everywhere, cry out about worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and power. And I don't know what your worship experiences are, but I pray that as you think about Jesus, and his love for you. That there bubbles up inside of you a spirit of praise as you realize nobody in heaven or earth could do for you what Jesus did. Out of the billions of people that have lived and will live, nobody can do for you what Jesus did. And that's take you from death to life, from hell to heaven, from a child of the devil to a child of God. All because he was slain. He voluntarily gave up his life that we might have eternal life. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy. Worthy of our honor and our praise and of all the glory that we can give him. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. To think everybody in here, on each side of you, could be on their way to hell right now. But instead, we're on our way to heaven. We could be living in loneliness and desolation, but instead we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We could be enduring the wrath of the devil, but instead we're enveloped with the love of Jesus. Oh, what a Savior we have. He alone, he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. As we come to celebrate the Lord's table, is there anyone that needs by now you should have the procedure down right. Just the first little tab and you find a piece symbolizing the bread, the broken body of Jesus. Most of us at one time or other have had some broken bones, some bruises, some scars from surgery. We can't begin to imagine what Jesus endured. The crown of thorns, the slapping of the face, the hitting with the rod, the scourging with the whip, and on the cross. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." Also, if you'll prepare your cup. The Bible says, apart from the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. How many thousands, perhaps millions of animals died for the sins of the people? But the Bible tells us that Jesus made one sacrifice for sin forever and sat down at the right hand of the Father. In other words, it was done. You sit down when your day's work's over. And Jesus shed his blood to take away your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. Jesus told his disciples, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink ye all of it." You know, Jesus told the disciples to look forward to a celebration in heaven. He said, I will drink this with you anew in the kingdom of God. Can't you imagine what a joy it's going to be? As far as the eye can see, brothers and sisters who know Jesus, celebrating with Jesus at the head of the table. And we're all saying, worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh Lord, you are worthy of our worship. As we prepare to leave, Brother Leonard's going to lead us in singing, Blessed Be the Tithe.